Got a perek, hey, fifth perek. It's a beautiful perek. It's only about 15 psukim long, very short, but the short ones are the best ones. It is full to the brim. It's a lot to go through. We probably won't get through a lot of it, but perek hey, yeah. Perek hey is now like this, just the in-between bit. You've got perek dalad where we cross the Jordan, split the Jordan into Gilgal where they were just by Yericho. And now they're preparing the next perek vav is the destruction of Yericho. It's a very good perek. We're now in the in between section, 15 psukim, but it is full. Pasuk aleph vayhi kishmoa. This is how they all of the prakim that come up in the next four or five prakim. Yoshua going to war, they all start the same way. Vahi kishmoa kol malchei ha'emori asher be'ever ha'yarden yama v'chol malchei ha'kna'ani asher al ha'yam et asher hovish Hashem et mei ha'yarden mipnei b'nei Yisrael ad ovram. Everyone heard what Hashem did at the Yarden. Everyone is petrified. Vayimas levavam, their hearts are melting. Velo haya bam od ruach. They had no ruach left in them. Mipnei b'nei Israel. Because of what happened to b'nei Israel. There are many reasons. First of all, the main enemies, the main big bosses were Sichon and Og. Finished. Done. Now, they were kingdoms. Now you're coming into a very small area of Canaan where it was split into 31 kingdoms, 31 provinces. So the beauty for us is there was no connection with all of them. Exactly. There was 31 independent provinces. Each one had its own king. Number one, it shows you how much everyone loved Eretz Israel. That everyone wanted to be here and have their own kingship and their own kingdom here in Eretz Israel. But what was good for us militarily was that they weren't united. Like Sichon and Og, they had huge kingdoms of armies and everyone united. And they were all separate, which, yes, it takes a longer time to go through one to the other. And it actually did take long, but that is also for a benefit, because it's not only that we had to destroy all of the 31 kings of Canaan, but the mitzvah was to establish ourselves in the land as well. So if you're taking an army and you're just going one by one by one and fighting everything and going around and fighting, killing, you actually, what have you left behind? There's a vacuum there and you won't actually settle the land. You're just going around from one fight to the other. So another benefit that it took so long to go from one to the other and to fight, aside from the fact that they weren't united, was that after each battle, there was a time period where we were able to then settle the land, and farmers and people, and then you were able to go on to the next one and to fight them and to carry on. So that's two positives that came from the setup in Canaan. They were all very scared. Also, it talks about Yericho being completely saguru mesugeret, completely closed up. That was the kind of the frame of mind of all the people in Canaan at that time. They weren't united. They were all sagur umesugered. They were just in protective mode. They see the Bnei Yisrael coming, everyone's petrified, everyone goes into their own towns and cities and is now on defensive mode. So that's another benefit for us. They weren't attaching and unifying and creating a big army against us.
Question.
Yeah.
Why do you think that, after being 40 years in the desert, Hashem could have just not made it so that we just come in and we settle? Why is it fight, then settle?
Beautiful question. Beautiful question.
There's so many fights. Maybe you can tell me, yeah, I have to have one big fight, one big loss. But it's years.
First of all, we've learned previously that now Hashem is weaning us off of these incredible miracles. Everything you have to do now is going to be in your own hands. That's one answer. Okay, you have to fight and get rid of them. There's no more miracles going on. And if they are miracles, they're going to be hidden amongst nature as well. That's number one. Number two, I had a question where it's a very similar question, but I'm going to give you the same answer. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was told, I want you to go up, but twice I think he's told, go up to the mountain, have a look, everything, all of this, see this beautiful land, everything, you're not going in. And they saw it a second time. Go up, have a look, see everything, see how beautiful that. Everything, look at this beautiful. You're not going in. What are you doing? It's not nice. It's like you're dangling a little carrot in front of you and you're not going in. Are you playing games over here? I heard one beautiful answer I like, and I think it's the same thing. That instilled within Moshe and within the generations that came after Moshe a desire for their land. Even though he couldn't go into it, he was allowed to see it and love it and fall in love and see and think and dream. And that was infused into the Jewish people forever after. That idea that we that had connection with the land of Israel. Same here. You want the land? You have to desire it. You have to fight for it. And we're going to see here in a second why there's such a... we're going to see there's a massive connection here with the land of Eretz Yisrael. Look in the next pasuk, Bet. I hope that answers it. I don't know if it does. Bet, Bet, Ahi, Amar Hashem El Yoshua. At that moment, Hashem comes to Yoshua and he says the following. Aseh lecha harvot zurim. I want you to make some knives out of rock. Harvot zurim means sharp knives out of rock. Veshuv, huh? Yeah? There you go. Same things. Out of the rocks of the land, I want you to fashion very sharp knives. Veshuv, molet bnei Israel shenit. And I want you to come and give milah to the Jewish people, shenit. Now, it obviously doesn't mean a second brit milah. As far as I know, you can only do it once. What does it mean, second? We're going to see in a second what it means. Vayas lo Yoshua harvot surim. So Yoshua made these sharp knives with out of the rocks. Vayamol et bnei Yisrael el givat ha'aralot. And he gave everyone a brit milah at a place called Givat ha'aralot, because that's where they collected all the foreskin. We're going to see. This is the reason why Yoshua gave a brit milah to all the people that came out of Mitzrayim. Kol ha'am yotzei Mitzrayim hazachim. Kol anshei ha'milchama metu. All the people that were fighting age died b'midbar, b'derech. Already died in the midbar, on the way, right? They're the ones that didn't go into the land, the ones that were already of fighting age. In the desert, they died in the desert, b'setam b'mitzrayim, when they came out of Mitzrayim. Kol mulim hayu kol ha'am yotzeim. All those that had brit milah were coming out of Mitzrayim, right? Because as soon as they came out of Mitzrayim, everyone had brit milah. And they had the Korban Pesach. V'chol ha'am ha'yilodim b'midbar, and all those that were born in the desert, b'derech, on the journey in the desert, b'tzeitam Mitzrayim, lo malu. Didn't have brit milah. I see Adam shaking his head. How could there be that such a dear mitzvah of brit milah was forsaken by the Jewish people for 40 years? Shteit and pasuk, that's what it says. We're going to come to it. Ki 40 shana alchu bnei Yisrael b'midbar atom kol ha'goy anshei ha'milchama yotzim b'Mitzrayim. Keep saying anshei ha'milchama, these people in the milchama. Until all those people had died in the 40 years, until all those people had died that were born in the desert, asher lo shamu b'kol Hashem, they didn't hear the name, voice of Hashem, means they didn't listen to Hashem, the spies, etc., etc. They weren't zochet to go in. Asher nishba Hashem lahem levirti harotam et haaretz. Asher nishba Hashem lavotam. I'm not going to even show you the land that was promised to your forefathers. But I tell them to give them eretz avot halav u'dvash. You weren't zochet to this land until they'd all died. No one else was given a brit milah. So let's do the next pasuk. Next pasukim. Vet b'nehem ikim tahtam. Their children went instead of them. Otam mal Yoshua. Those children that entered the land of Israel, those are the ones Yoshua now is given brit milah. Ki arelim hayu, because they were arel. They didn't have a brit milah. Ki lo malu otam badarech. They didn't give them, again the same word, badarech, on the journey. Didn't give them brit milah. Vayikasher tamu kol ha'goy le'imol, and when everyone had finished having a brit milah, ve'yishvu tahtam b'mahaneh ad hayotam, and they sat in the mahaneh until they had got a little bit better from their operation. Questions. Everyone's got questions. How could they be? These people were born. No, they were born after the first milah. All the people, they were born after the first milah. They hadn't had the brit milah. Anyone born after that first milah, when they were left on Mitzrayim and they were having the Korban Pesach. So first answer, why couldn't they have a brit milah? It says, baderech. And what's the issue of being on Baderech? Dangerous. Right? Who else didn't have a Brit Mila Baderech?
Moshe's
son. Right? Because he was on the Derech, didn't have a Brit Mila. We're going to see there might be a connection here with that.
Returning to Hashem.
Returning to Hashem, what do you mean?
Well, they didn't believe, so they had to...
Oh, you're getting close to it here. Close to an answer. Another answer given in the Gemara is that there was the Hashem stopped this Ruach Tzfonit. The Ruach Tzfonit is supposed to heal you. And Hashem didn't allow this Ruach Tzfonit to help us during the 40 years of the wilderness, either because of the sin of the spies, or because the Gemara gives an answer that he didn't want the clouds of glory to disperse from the wind. So maybe it was just us. So just have the Ruach Tzfonit without the issues of dispersing the clouds. So here we're talking about an answer where Hashem, if he doesn't have to do Nisim, he doesn't have to do Nisim. Right? So with Hashem, if he doesn't have to do a Nes, he doesn't have to do a Nes. You prefer not to. You prefer to continue the world as it is intended. Why were they not mal? Baderech is the best answer, I think. It's one of the best answers because they were on. It says a few times in the Pesukim, Baderech. But it's such a dear mitzvah. How could it be that they... Okay, so...
had to do a mitzvah inside of Israel.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Asher Stefanski says, maybe they had to do this mitzvah inside of Eretz Yisrael now. We see in the Psukim that Brit Milah is directly connected to inheriting the land of Israel. Directly. And that's why the Zohar and others say why Yishmaelim have a connection to the land of Israel, because they also have Brit Milah. Right? Not only that, but what is Yeshua asked to do? Because we know that every sakin is kasher for Brit Milah. Barzel, Nehosh, whatever you want. It's all kasher for Brit Milah. What is Hashem asking him to do here? Surim. You take the land. Take the land. You take the rocks of the land. And those you will fashion. Otherwise, what's he going to... Why is Hashem telling him all the details about what knives to use? Kolak sakinim ksherim. What do I care? And Hashem says, no. Aselecha harvot surim. Take the land. And now you're going to reinstitute the Brit Milah. Why does it say shenit? Because from Avraham Avinu up until only recently, Brit Milah was being done. There was now a break, and now you're restarting it a second time. We're now going to restart it in the land of Israel. That's why it also says all the age of Milchama, because now the people coming in to fight Milchama in the land, they're the ones that now have a connection to the land. They're the ones that want to have the Brit Milah. Once the generation in the desert here, they're not going in, they lose their connection to Brit Milah as well, it seems. I'm not sure if that gives them the right to say I'm not doing it, but because those two mitzvot are so connected, once they heard they weren't going in, they didn't have the desire to do Brit Milah either. So here we see a direct connection of the land, being in the land, direct connection with Brit Milah, and why now it's restarting here, why they didn't do it in the desert. Yeah.
And they were like roaming from it. Hashem was like, the door is closed now, I locked it. You're just like, what's the point of doing anything else
about
it? Yefemod. I mean, like, forget it. We're just
going to
be like this.
Yefemod. I also found some of the time, if you want to know what they were thinking, the Goyim that were living, their nations were thinking at that time when the Jewish people were coming in. We already said they were very scared and petrified and going into defensive mode. I learned about the El Amarna tablets. El Amarna is like a city in north Egypt, where there's a few cuneiform tablets that were preserved, and it has discussions about 1400 BC. Has discussions of the kings of Canaan sending messages to the kings of Egypt, and there's a specific one that talks about the Habiru. Habiru is very connected to the Hebrew or Ivri, right? It talks about, we're very scared, we're petrified, they're coming in. Please send us some reinforcements, some horses, and there's that. So essentially you can actually see Beferush, what they were themselves thinking as the Jewish people. Sorry? I'm not sure where they are, but I've got the website where I got it from. They're absolutely. Exactly. Okay, let's continue. So everyone is up to speed?
Yeshua had
a Brit Milah. But now he's now the people coming in are having the next Brit Milah. Okay. Pasuk Ted. That's why, by the way, if you look at Rashi, well, you don't have Rashi there, but that, where it says in Dalet, this is the reason why Yoshua is giving them Brit Milah. Rashi says that Hadavar, the Yoshua actually said to the Bnei Yisrael, this is the reason why you're having Brit Milah. Because Rashi says, Sfurim atem lirashet eretz ha'arelim. You are now going to inherit the land where there's people there that are arel, they don't have Brit Milah. Lo kach ne'emar le'Avraham. This wasn't said to Avraham. It says to Avraham, Va'ata et briti tishmor, the Brit of Brit Milah you're going to keep. And then it also says, V'natati lecha ulezaracha acharecha et eretz megurecha. And it's directly connected to the Brit Milah to inheriting the land of Israel. Okay. Today I'm going to take off the cherpa, the busha of Mitzrayim from upon you. Right? Obviously referring to the Brit Milah. Mitzrayim were steeped in immorality. So they're getting rid of that. Also there's another idea that there were two parts of Brit Milah. Up until Matan Torah, they had the Brit of Avraham, which is cutting off. But from Matan Torah onwards, that's what it says Shenit, because there's two types of Brit Milah. The first part is cutting off, which the Muslims also have themselves. The second part is actually revealing. So there's a deeper part of that we ourselves keep, and this is what gives us the right to the land of Eretz Israel. But Yikrashem HaMakom Ahu Gilgal, he calls that Gilgal Ad Hayom Hazeh, until this day. Vayachanu Bnei Yisrael Bal Gilgal. Also, what are you doing having Brit Milah? You're now in Gilgal, right? We said, where's Gilgal? We said it's right next to Yericho, right? They're basically in the heart of it. They're just about in Yericho. They're right next to Yericho, to the fact that the Pasuk calls Yoshua, he's sitting in Yericho. Armies all around you, and what are you doing? You're having Brit Milah. You're having an operation on all of your fighting age men. Yes. The truth is yes, because they weren't scared whatsoever. If there was one inkling that the armies would now come and attack them because they're halash, right? What happened with Shimon and Levi? They told the whole city to have a Brit Milah. Third day, boom, went in and killed all of them because they're halash. Here they're having a Brit Milah. They only have about 2 or 3 days after this to recover. They don't give one...
Monkeys.
They don't give a monkeys, right? Because everyone is scared. They don't have any second, they don't have any doubts. That if we haven't been there, maybe there's no sakana. We're sitting here, we're in the emek, where they can all around us, they're watching over us and all of their scouts.
The Jordan just got split. The Jordan just got split.
You're right.
It's the old generation that saw the Yamsa. They just saw the Jordan split, so they're like... It's not like so they're so far removed.
100%. But someone could have taken the initiative and said, yeah. Not only that, but they're sitting now in the Emek, down below us, and they've all the fighting age men have just had Brit Milah. Yeah, we'll take the advantage. The Bnei Yisrael weren't scared of that either. Vayachanu Bnei Yisrael b'Gilgal vayasu et ha-Pesach. Another reason why they need to do Brit Milah. Because what's the date? The date is the 10th of of Nisan, 11th of Nisan. In 2-3 days, they're going to have to do Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is directly related to having a Brit Milah. V'chol arelim lo yelchu lo yechol bo. Nachon, exactly. That's what I did the first time. So here now, they're about to eat the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. They have to have a Brit Milah, right? It's actually a positive mitzvah that includes most positive mitzvahs. If you don't do it, Korban Pesach, you have to have a Brit Milah. Barba Asar Yom LaChodesh on the 14th, which is in a few days' time. But Erev Barvot Yericho, just in the plains of Jericho. Vayochlu Me'avo Mavur Haaretz Maharat HaPesach. Now they start eating from the grains of the land. First time they've eaten from the grains of the land. Matzot, the kalui, eating matzot. Be'etzem hayom hazeh, in this time, Yudbe, vayishbot haman, and the man now stops. Mimahorat ba'ochlam ma'avur ha'aretz, because they're eating from the grains of the land now. Oh, did they? Machloked. There's some that say, if Rashi says here, I think, Mishiva ba'adar shemet Moshe pasak haman. Rashi says, already a month ago, when Moshe died, the man had stopped. Okay, because we know it was in the zechut of Moshe that they had the man. Month after. Now, a month later, Rashi says, "V'hayu mistapkim ad achshav." All the man shebekelehem shelaktu b'shiva ba'adar. All the man that they had gathered on the 7th of Adar, that was a miracle that had now satiated them until today. That's what Rashi says. So we know that it stopped when Moshe died, which is the 7th of Adar, but whatever they had with them was eaten until today. That's one answer. Another answer is that today, Vayishbot Haman, the monk continued whilst they were in Israel, but now that they're in, whilst they're in the desert, it continued. Now they're in Israel, actual, proper, now Vayishbot Haman. Now the man stops because they're in Israel. Another beautiful answer. Look at this. Vayishbot Haman. What was the man compared to? There's three words it's compared to. Right? All the Hasidim know this. They know this. Baal Peh, they know this. Kezera Gad Lavan. Okay, back in the Pesukim there, it's compared to Kezera Gad Lavan. Like a white, like a seed, a mustard seed or whatever, white in color, right? But it's called Kezera Gad, like a seed of Gad. Right? Why does it say the Hasidim know? Because the Rosh Teva or Kezera Gad Lavan is Kugel, by the way.
Kugel.
Right? So they know this one, Baal Peh. Why you think Kugel and Shabbos? Kezera Gad Lavan. Because it reminds me of the man. Well, if you can fit it in there, they'll take that as well. But 100% they'll tell you Kugel. 100% the... I'm sure there's Arak there in there as well. So, yeah, Kugel, that's the funny Dvar Torah. But Kezera Gad Lavan, why was he compared to Gad? What do we know about Shevet Gad?
God, they were outside.
Thank you. God stayed outside. Just like the man. The man, outside. Once you come in, Vayishbot Haman. Now the man stops. Okay. Vayochlu mitvuat eretz Kanan b'shana. Here, that whole year they ate from the tvua of the land. I told you, it's packed. This pasuk, this perek is packed. Right, and that actually strengthens the fact that they weren't just fighting and taking over, they were actually settling the land and eating and making sure that it was settled, not just defeating the armies.
Yeah. Did they build
the Mizbeach? They already had a Mizbeach. I'm not sure what it was used for. Yud Gimel. Vahi biyod Yehoshua biricho.
Yeah, Mishkan.
Ah, then Mishkan. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Kohen. See? On point. Vahi biyod Yehoshua biricho. Yehoshua's in Yericho. Not mamash, but just outside. And suddenly, this is another part of the perek. We're now, Yeshua is preparing for war. He lifts up his eyes and he sees something. And he sees a man standing above him. And a sword was drawn in his hand. Vayelech Yoshua elav vayomer lo. Yoshua goes up to him and says, "Halanu ata im letzarenu. Are you with us or you're with the enemies. Interesting. Interesting. He doesn't know who this guy is. Doesn't know you're an enemy. You're with us. Just says Yeshua. Vayomer, and the person says back to him, Lo, ki ani sar tzeva Hashem, atabati. I am the sar tzeva of Hashem, right, which refers to Michael usually, or the sar tzeva of Hashem, and you guys are the tzeva Hashem. Right, he's referring to Bnei Israel. Atabati, now I have come to you. We're going to see what those words mean in a second. Vayipol Yoshua el panav arza vayishtahu. Yoshua fell on his face and he bowed down. Vayomelo, and he said to him, Ma adoni medaber el avdo, what have you got to tell me? Vayomes arza vashem el Yoshua. And the malach Michael says to Yoshua, Shal na'alcha me'al raglecha. Take off your shoe from your foot. Ki amakom asher ata omed alav kodeshu. Because the place where you're standing is Kodesh. Vayas ken Yoshua, Vayoshua Yoshua ken, Yoshua did for us. So a few points. Here we're not sure why this angel is coming. There's a machloke, even the Gemara talks about it. Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, why is this angel coming? Here it says, doesn't say, it just says, Ata Bati, now I came to you. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Is he coming to help us? Or is he coming to warn Yoshua? Both are true. Atabati is coming now to tell you, you are Tzava Hashem over here. This is the Tzava Hashem. I'm with you. So give him a bit of strength and tell you, I'm with you. I'm the Tzar Tzava here. Michael. Sar Israel. You're going to be okay in the war tomorrow. Another idea is, he came to warn him. And the Gemara actually says, because of the cutting of the Jordan, because everyone was busy coming to Eretz Israel, they neglected a couple of mitzvot. Number one, they neglected Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im. They didn't bring the regular Korban Tamid of the afternoon. They neglected that mitzvah. And then the Malach says to Yoshua, and another mitzvah you also neglected, I'm afraid, yesterday. Talmud Torah. You think you're going to come in, and you think you're going to destroy all these kings, and you're going to settle the land, and you're not going to find time to learn a shtickl Torah? You're not going to sit down? Okay, splitting of the Jordan, everyone's crossing the rivers, the women, the children, people coming in, everyone's setting up camp. Okay, fine. What about the evening? What about when everyone's in their tents? You didn't set up a Shi'ur Torah. You didn't have a Tanakh Shi'ur once a week. You didn't have a Daf Yomi. Something. And you think you're going to go tomorrow and you're going to destroy miraculously all these 31 kings without Talmud Torah? Do you know how integral Talmud Torah is to Eretz Israel? How important it is there's people sitting and learning Torah? This is what he's saying here. So the Gemara says, Atabatis, Yoshua says to him, well, which neglected mitzvah are you coming to warn me about here? The Tamid or not learning Torah? So the Malach says, Ata Bati. Now that it's nighttime, I'm coming to you. Meaning, for the fact that you didn't learn Torah at nighttime, now I'm coming to you. Because that's more important. It's more important you sit and learn Torah. When you find the time, yes, you're busy with fighting, and yes, you're busy with this, but you'll find time to sit and learn Torah. Otherwise, what merit have we got to this land? And so, both, to give us strength, the Sar Tzava came and showed himself to you. He says here, Makom Kadosh. With Moshe, he says also Makom Kadosh, but once there was no Shekhinah, Har Sinai is not Makom Kadosh. What's the difference with where Yoshua is standing? Eretz Yisrael. This is a Makom Kadosh. We also said there was another difference, right? With Moshe, he was told to take a Shalna Alecha Ma'ala Lagrecha. Take off your shoes from your feet. Here Yoshua is told, take off your shoe from your foot. Right? The shoe around the foot is an idea of physicality. Like the body is enveloping the soul. This is an idea. And now he's told to take off his shoe. One idea I heard was that you've got to feel the land. Here we're coming into the land, you've got to be right on the land. You'll be living the land, living with it, the dust, right? Well, even the Rambam brings it in the Gemara. The Chachamim, when they used to leave Eretz Yisrael, they would kiss the rocks, roll in the dust of the land. Because they had a love for the land. People come in, we don't do it so much. Some people, they bow down, they kiss the floor, right? Because the land itself is kadosh. Take off your shoe, feel the land. Another idea is, there's got to be a shiluv. Moshe, both of his shoes had to be taken off because he was kulo kadosh. Everything was spiritual, Moshe. And he stayed in the desert. But here now you come to Eretz Yisrael. One shoe has to be on and one shoe has to be off. You have to understand there's kiddusha, but you also have to be settling, farming, doing. Now you're the Vaishpot Aman, you've got to do the ten Zri'a, Ksira, Afia, Nisha, everything you've got to do now. So why is he told to take one? Because one foot has to be kadosh for spirituality, and now we'll come to the land of Israel. There's going to have to law physicality, fighting, and all this thing, right? Okay, shkoyach, chazak baruch.